The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 16th, 2025. I'm Mike Clifford. The death toll grew Sunday as Israel and Iran exchanged missile attacks for a third straight day, with Israel warning the worst is still to come. That for the Associated Press. They report that Israel targeted Iran's defense ministry headquarters in Tehran and sites it alleged were associated with Iran's nuclear program. At the same time, Iranian missiles evaded Israeli air defenses and slammed into buildings deep inside Israel. In Israel, at least 10 people were killed in the Iranian strikes overnight. In Iran, the health ministry reported that 224 people have been killed since Israel's attack began on Friday, and they claim over 90% of the casualties were civilians. Meantime, Jewish advocates for Palestinians are joining forces to draw attention to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. They're calling on the U.S. to stop arming the Israeli military and end the widespread starvation in the region.
Today, members of Jewish Voice for Peace Chicago are beginning a hunger strike. Elected officials and a variety of city and statewide groups gathered at a rally today in Federal Plaza to start the demonstration. Striker Ashley Borer says they are standing in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza and calling for aid to Gaza to resume, for an arms embargo, and for a permanent ceasefire.
Jewish law and thought holds the sanctity of human life above all else. What we are witnessing right now in Gaza is a total disregard for the lives of 2 million innocent people who are being slaughtered.
She says they plan to strike until substantial amounts of food, water, and medicine are allowed back into Gaza or until their bodies fail them. Supporters of Israel say the country has made efforts to facilitate the delivery of aid to Gaza and alleviate the suffering of Palestinians. I'm Judith Ruiz Branch reporting.
Next, a new analysis of what congressional leaders have dubbed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act finds it would eliminate thousands of jobs in South Dakota and slow economic growth.
The bill's current language repeals multiple federal policies, funding programs, and tax credits meant to boost American clean energy and manufacturing. Senior analyst Daniel O'Brien says South Dakota could lose as many as 1,600 jobs by 2030, as funding is directed to jobs in the coal, oil, and gas industries.
Those are but a fraction of the number of jobs that are being lost in manufacturing, construction, utilities, farming, and agriculture.
O'Brien says up to 840,000 jobs nationwide could be eliminated over the next 5 years if the current bill remains intact. It repeals more than $500 billion in Inflation Reduction Act investments, which some House Republicans have dubbed a green new scam. I'm Catherine Carley.
Folks in South Dakota currently benefit from low energy prices, partly due to the growth of renewable energy. This is Public News Service. Groups in New York are helping immigrants deal with immigration arrests that are happening in courthouses.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are detaining immigrants after attending hearings on their immigration status. A Bronx High School student was detained in late May while attending a federal immigration court hearing. As many immigrants worry about what could happen if they abide by immigration laws, Stephanie Mulcock with the Hispanic Federation says they should plan ahead.
You can gather all of your important documents, inform a close friend or family member where your documents are and how to get them. You can schedule a consultation with a reputable attorney or a reputable nonprofit organization that does have attorneys.
She notes attorneys can help people evaluate plans for immigration release or a standby guardianship so a person's child can be cared for while they're detained. Despite concerns of detainment, Mulcock says people must still go to court since not appearing could lead to an in absentia deportation. However, she says people can ask for a virtual hearing. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Meantime, it is estimated 3,000 to 4,000 Hoosiers marched around the Indiana State House during the No Kings protest.
The demonstration took place on President Donald Trump's 79th birthday and the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army, two milestones marked by a military parade in Washington, D.C. Protesters in Indiana criticized what they called authoritarian behavior and attacks on democracy. Micah Pulliam says those concerns drove her to the march.
America hasn't had a king. We rejected kings years and years and years ago, and Trump is acting like a king, like he can make all the decisions and do what he wants. That's not how America works.
Indiana State Police detained one person after a scuffle with a counter-protester. No other arrests were reported. I'm Joe O'Leary, Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Finally, hunger among college students in California has jumped dramatically since the pandemic. Yet CalFresh, a statewide low-income food assistance program, fails to reach more than 70% of eligible students. Food pantries are finding creative ways to meet student needs.
In the 2023-24 school year, 46% of students at Cal Poly Humboldt used the school's Oh Snap food pantry, 4% more than the year before. Mira Friedman, who coordinates the program, says people may think that if students can afford tuition, they can afford food, but that's often untrue.
It's a misconception because oftentimes financial aid is not significant enough to pay for all the expenses. Food is very expensive. Housing insecurity is very real, and food insecurity is very real for our students.
Data from the California Student Aid Commission found that more than two-thirds of college students surveyed were food insecure in 2023. Students who are on a school food plan only qualify for CalFresh if it is the most minimal plan. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. This is Suzanne Potter reporting.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service. Member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.